We're back on the game. Cole Manbeck on at 5:10 to talk K-State hoops. Rex Hudler from Fox Sports Kansas City at 5:25. We'll get his perspective on the passing of Yordano Ventura, which obviously saddened, I know, a ton of people around the area, and we're going to talk about that here this segment. I've got one thing that really sticks in my mind about the passing of Yordano Ventura that to me pulls a lot at the heartstrings. We're going to debate at 4:40, defend your tweet, whether or not K-State's a bubble team. I'm getting tweets on either side of the fight here, but I do have two from current and former media members. One that says 15-4 with one high-quality win lands you right squarely on the bubble. 10-12 seeds for Power 5 conferences is definitely bubble territory. I would agree. Also, another one, is there someone out there that doesn't interpret a 10 seed from a Power 5 as anything but the definition of the bubble? Point of reference, K-State projected as a 10 seed by both CBS and ESPN right now. But some, like Mitch, single-digit seed in my mind. That does make a difference. If you think they are a single-digit seed, that brings you into, we're starting to get like murkier in terms of whether or not you are actually on the bubble. But right now, the projections are saying 10 seed. Anyway, 4:40, we'll get into that debate with Defend Your Tweet. Look, the Yordano Ventura situation is heartbreaking on a number of different levels. That was not a good way to wake up Sunday. I'll be honest with you, like, I slept in big time on Sunday, and I was rolling out of bed, and first thing I saw was the score app on my phone, which sends me, I mean, I'm signed up for, like, Royals, Chiefs, K-State, I think, so it'll send me alerts, and the first one I saw, like, most of the time, it's always a news bit. It's never any kind of feature story that gets written or something, and the first thing I saw was Royals say, Yordano Ventura always, like, lit up the room with his smile or something like that. Like, that was all the headline said, and I was like, "What? Why is it sending me that?" And then I just scroll down all the texts that I'd gotten, and I had, like, you know, Cole text me. There was, like, four or five people that had texted me about it, and that it was jarring, man. Obviously, there were ups and downs with Yordano Ventura, and I think if you listen to the show, if you know me, I probably liked him and was willing to embrace more of his faults, much more so than a lot of people were. For instance, and I tweeted this, my most lasting memory of Yordano Ventura will forever be, and I love this, by the way, forever be, playing the Chicago White Sox in 2015. I remember exactly where I was, local establishment here, having some wings with some friends watching that game. Adam Eaton slaps the comebacker to him. He tells him to... He drops a four-letter word on him as he's jogging down to first base, and it started the brawl, which we later found out had been really started by Jeff Samardzija, who was talking some noise in between innings. So again, it turns into there's more behind the curtain than would appear on the surface with Yordano Ventura, which I think is a pretty common theme with Ventura, and we found more about that out since we have had this tragedy happen. I honestly feel a little disappointed in myself that I didn't know some of these things about him. Because you think about the way that he acts and how many would perceive it as immature and reckless, the way he was on the mound a lot of times, arguing with Mike Trout. There was the incident, I mean, with the Blue Jays, with the A's. He had the Manny Machado thing last year. It's a lot of them. It's a laundry list of it. But this guy grew up with no father figure around in the Dominican Republic, poor, not much money. He quit school at 14 to go work at a hardware store to provide for his family, then gets discovered by the Royals at like 16, comes over to America, doesn't know the language, again, has grown up without a father figure. Like, does it, it kind of makes sense. Like, this is why I always like to give people the benefit of the doubt in situations like this and understand that a lot of people come from way different backgrounds than growing up in Johnson County like I did. So I try to be very empathetic towards the way people come up. And I think when you start to understand a lot of that and hear the quotes from Dayton Moore about how Yordano Ventura was really actually more passive and just wanting to be a people pleaser behind the scenes, it makes a lot more sense to me, and I feel like I have a better understanding of him, relate to that, and it just makes me even more heartbroken because it just makes me love the guy. He was passionate when he was out there, wanted nothing more than to win and help out his teammates, and I think he was really misunderstood, and unfortunately, now we don't get any kind of chance to get any further down the road with the Yordano Ventura story.
And I think that's where another knife gets put in your heart when you hear about something like this, is because for the people that did want to see him change his demeanor a little bit or turn over a new leaf, and I was certainly one of them, all I wanted to see from him was to get that opportunity. I certainly wanted him to have that opportunity to prove himself, and now he doesn't get that opportunity, and that makes it just so much worse because he was absolutely a player that you wondered how high the ceiling could possibly be. And it's a little bit more easy to accept an untimely death like this when you know exactly what that player was and what they had accomplished and everything like that. But with Giordano, the pages, there were so many that had not been written yet, and that just makes it just brutal to have to try to swallow and digest as an organization for the Royals, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just a number of lessons to be learned from this. Like, one of the obvious ones, I had no idea, and I probably should have because of the Oscar Tavares accident that happened and some of the other things that have happened with these guys from the Dominican Republic. Didn't realize it was such a dangerous climate to be driving around out there, and the teams were really fearful of this happening with a lot of their players. There's obviously some lessons that can be learned from that. Again, I take it back to a fan perspective and say, I think in general, I mean, I hope you follow me here, but like, I think in general in the world today, we have a big problem with people being able to take a step back, put yourself in someone else's shoes, and understand that they can come from a much different background that makes life much different and would make them react to situations much differently than you would, and everybody could use a little bit more empathy in those types of situations. And I think Giordano Ventura is a grade A example of that because of how people reacted to it. I mean, we sat here on the show and had a lot of pretty intense debates about Giordano Ventura over the last couple of years every time one of these incidents would come up. And it took something like this, I think, for some people to look into it and have a deeper understanding of what was going on with him. But the other thing to me is just that Giordano Ventura was you don't have a movie without any kind of conflict, right? I mean, there's no matter how happy of an ending there is in a movie, there's always that conflict. So it drives the movie. You're not going to go watch something that's just a pristine, like everything works out perfectly. There has to be some conflict. I mean, the Royals had kind of a storybook romance going on with Giordano Ventura, this kid that they discovered that no one else wanted at 16, that they paid $28,000 for his rights to develop him when he was 15 and through mid-80s. And he winds up being a guy at, you know, 5'10", 150 at best, that could throw 100 miles an hour and makes it to the big leagues by the time he's 23. It's a great story. Now, there were ups and downs, and there was the conflict, and we got to see all of the conflict part of that movie, but we don't get the payoff. We're left without the payoff and what could have been for Giordano Ventura, the storybook ending at the end of that. That to me is what's really painful about this because, you know, reading Sam Mellinger's stuff was almost making me more upset about it because he was emphatic that the Royals and Dayton Moore believed that he was headed in the right direction. The numbers from the second half of 2016 were much better than the first half. He had been working more this offseason. There were a lot of indicators that 2017 could have been his best year yet, and that he really was starting to figure some things out, and we're never going to get a chance to know just what the payoff would be there.
I think that what you just brought up is the biggest reason that the Royals player that's had the hardest time digesting this is Salvador Perez, at least from all of the reports that we've seen, including from Vahe Gregorian that tweeted out last night, as recently as last night, that Salvador Perez has still not accepted that the news is true, which just breaks your heart to hear something like that. I think it's because of the relationship between a pitcher and a catcher. I mean, who has had a more of a front row seat to all of that conflict that you talked about with Giordano Ventura than Salvador Perez? And Perez is a really smart guy who knows exactly what the ceiling was for Giordano and what he could have accomplished in his career. And I think that Perez, also being one of those guys that's in the Royals lifer category, had a lot of excitement and anticipation for being there through the entirety of the movie that you're talking about. He wasn't going to be a guy that suddenly got traded away and would have to watch from afar. He was going to be, if Giordano Ventura ended up being the pitcher in Game 7 of the World Series to clinch a championship or something like that a few years down the road, Perez was going to be the arms who open up for Giordano to run into. And I think that that's why Perez seems to be affected more than anyone else.
And he did give the eulogy at his funeral, which was this morning, by the way. The Kansas City Star did a really nice job covering a lot of that. They actually had video of Salvador Perez up on their website delivering a eulogy at the funeral, and I mean, it was touching, man. And I think you're spot on about Salvador Perez. He's one of the guys that's going to affect the most, not only just because of his personality, but just the fact that he interacted so closely with him. And if the Royals had to put a lot of work into it, which they did, and admittedly so, Salvador Perez was a big part of that too. It wasn't just Dayton Moore, not just Ned Yost, not just the pitching coaches that worked with Yordano Ventura. Salvador Perez was a big part of that. I thought a very good way to sum up Yordano Ventura was two things that came from Sam Ellinger's column. The first part is just how Sam summed up Yordano Ventura after talking to Dayton Moore, and that was, Ventura could be difficult at times, but never disrespectful. He was never a troublemaker. He just needed help sometimes. There's a difference. And then here's a direct quote from Dayton Moore. Some players, their talent moves them a lot quicker than their ability to manage their personal life. With Yordano, we always had challenges, but in a good way. That's a big part of the story to me, man. Their talent moves a lot quicker than their ability to manage their personal life. A 15-year-old that gets paid $28,000 to come over that's grown up without a father in a poor country in the Dominican Republic that dropped out of school at 14 to go work at a hardware store to provide for his family, all of a sudden throws 100 miles an hour a couple years later and is coveted by these crazy fans that we have in America over their sports teams. Does it make sense that there could have been some conflict there and he would handle some things a little bit differently than many of us would have? And I feel like everybody looked down with pretty judgmental eyes a lot of times with Yordano Ventura. I just thought that was all very appropriate, and I hope that we remember the good times. You know, you said, hey, he could have pitched Game 7 of a World Series. Well, he did pitch Game 6 of a World Series and threw 7 shutout innings in 2014. And the next day, this is another thing I didn't know until right now, the next day went out and helped at a charity event with little kids playing baseball in Kansas City after losing Game 7 of the World Series. So I guess it was 2 days after that start, after losing Game 7 of the World Series. Clearly had a good heart. Clearly his heart was in the right place. And very, very sad. We'll talk with Rex Hudler at 525 from Fox Sports Kansas City about Yordano Ventura as well. Cole Manbeck's going to be on the show at 510. But when we come back, the great debate rages on. You're listening to The Game.